Have some things to give out. Uh-oh, here they come. Be careful. When I was a young boy, Colorado, I lived in Colorado in the mountains, about 9,700 feet, a little town called Victor, about 50 miles from Colorado Springs, a little bit south, a little bit west. It was a mining town. My grandfather was a gold miner. My dad was a gold miner. We had a little tiny little school, very small town, maybe 800 people. The town was so small that the grade school had to have kids come from another town 6 miles away called Cripple Creek. So my largest grade school class was probably 25, and that was kids from two towns. Well, very early in my life, I think it was first grade, I brought home the report card, and I had A's on my report card. And my dad said, every A that you bring on your report card, I'll give you 25 cents. Well, in the 1950s, 25 cents was a lot of cents. For 25 cents, I could go to the movie. 25 cents, I could buy popcorn, candy, and a soda. I mean, try that today, right? So all through grade school, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, I got straight A's because I wanted the quarter. Now, it was a little different when I got into junior high, but anyway. So what you have in front of you is God's report card, heavenly report card, right? You know that each and every one of us, we're going to stand before God, right? And we're going to have to give an account. Not an account of sin, but an account of what you did. And so what you have here is you have a report card, and we're going to kind of go over that today. And there's subjects, and you can grade yourself. And I have three dates on here, and I talked to the pastor, and he said that he might at another date do this again just to see if you've improved in your score. So you got A for excellent, B for very good, C for mediocre or average, D for below average, and F, I didn't put down failure, I put needs improvement. And that's probably what a score I'm going to get on most of mine is I need improvement. So the first thing we're going to talk about is... Well, let's go to Psalm 25 first. Psalm 25. It's in the index under P. You can find it. I'm trying to help the pastor out. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse number 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Is that what it says? Yeah. Psalm 25, 4. Show me thy ways, teach me thy paths. God wants us to go the way he wants us to go. That's true, isn't it? And sometimes what he needs to do is he needs to show us the way to go. We need to pay attention to what God wants us to do. All right, for another part of this introduction here before we get serious. Let's go to Romans. No, let's don't do that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I'm going to ask a question. This is not a rhetorical question. This is a question that I want to know the answer to. How many people in this room have trouble memorizing Scripture? Raise your hand. God knows who you are. Okay, so I'm going to give you the Ken Dean Evangelist School of Bible Memorization. First lesson is free. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 16. What's it say? All right, keep your hand in 1 Thessalonians, close your book. All right, what's it say in 1 Thessalonians 5:16? You said you couldn't memorize Scripture. You just memorized Scripture, didn't you? All right, what's it say, 1 Thessalonians 5:16? Here's the deal about memorizing Scripture. You have to want to. Right? Amen. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Okay. So, should we memorize Scripture? Amen. All right, now the first grade we're going to get from God is the grade for our prayer life. What's it say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Pray without ceasing. Are you a praying warrior, are you? All right, I'll give you a test right now. How many missionaries does this church support? Yeah, okay, a lot. Now, if you were praying without ceasing, you'd know who those missionaries were because you'd be prayed for them. Is that true? All right, on your card, write down what you think your grade should be for praying. A, B, C, D, F. I would have to give myself a C. I'm probably an average prayer. I pray for missionaries every day, missionaries that I know, missionaries that I've supported in the past. I pray for family members. I pray for churches that I've been to. I pray for the health of people that I know need health. What's it take? It takes me all 15 minutes. What a prayer warrior. I pray in the morning. I pray in the evening. I pray for food. I pray for direction. I pray for comfort. I pray for strength. I pray for those people that I know that are lost. I try to remember every day to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Praying, 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 brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to pray. What a privilege we have. We can boldly come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a God who controls this universe, and he's never too busy to hear you. Right? I mean, think about it. You just bust right into the throne of grace. Don't need an appointment. God stops whatever he's doing. He said, all right, what do you want? Right? And praise God, he listens. And the tricky part is sometimes he says no. Do you tell me God didn't answer your prayer? Oh, he answered your prayer, all right. He just said no when you wanted him to say yes, right? How many of you ever prayed for something and God didn't give it to you? You found out later it was the best thing happened to you. Well, we ought to consider our prayer life to be something important because it's in heaven right now. There's a vial. And it contains the prayers of the saints. And every once in a while, God will lift that lid off and, oh, that's a sweet smell right there. People praying to me. Are you praying, Christian? Are you praying? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Now, you can write these verses down if you want. Look them up later. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. We all know about the armor of God, right? Well, okay, some of us know about the armor of God. Now, I can look around this room today, and I'm grateful because everybody put on clothes. But let me ask you a question. How many of you put on the armor of God? Well, are we supposed to put on the armor of God? Do you know what the armor of God is? Well, I think one of the most important parts of the armor of God is Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, this church has approximately 100, 120 members. Is that true? Give or take a member or two. Right now, pick out two names of two people you know and pray for them for the rest of this month. And if you did that every month, two different names, this whole church would be growing spiritually. How many of you would like someone to pray for you? Well, pick two names. Maybe someone will pick your name. Right? Wouldn't it be great to have someone pray for you every day? I mean, I have an advantage because I used to go to 60, 70 churches every year. My wife and I traveled in a motorhome for 21 years. I have churches praying for me all over the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Praise God. I need all the prayer I can get because I'm a sinner, right? Anybody here a sinner? Well, you need some prayer then. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Prayer, prayer, prayer. You know, this could probably be a three-part message, but I'm going to try to do it in one. So we should be getting out of here four or five, something like that. Don't get nervous. It's just a joke. All right, where do we go? 2 Timothy chapter 2? No. I can't read my own writing. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Don't make me come down there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all my friends. Is that what it says? So how many of you prayed for President Biden today? One out of 50? Two, three out of four out of 50? Out of 100, if you're here, raise your hand. Some people aren't even here. All right, verse number 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Prayer, prayer, prayer. How you doing, Christian, in your grade school of Christianity? Are you praying? Well, give yourself a grade. No one's going to see it but you and God. Be honest. All right, this next one here, Bible reading, Bible studying. Anybody here do Bible reading, Bible studying? Who read Proverbs chapter 4 today? Well, praise God. Who read their Bible this morning? So how you doing with your Bible reading, Bible studying? Should we read the Bible every day? All right, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. That's New Testament, Pastor. I try to help him out. That's right, I'm funny. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Blessed is he that readeth, right? All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know it, I know it, we all know it. All scripture is what? Given by inspiration of who? And what is it? It is profitable, isn't it? All right, so what are we doing with what we know? Is it trying to make us perfect, that we can be thoroughly furnished to all good works? One of the reasons that we have trouble in Christianity this day and age is people are just not reading the Bible. What does the Bible say? What does it tell you about God? What does it tell you about Jesus? What does it tell you about you? You should be spending some time in the book of Psalms. Amen. You want to find out about Jesus. You want to find out about God. You want to find out about you. It'll help you. You got 150 chapters. All right, let's go to... Did we read 16 and 17? All scriptures give inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 119. I know most of you had that memorized, but just humor me. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man, verse number 9, is that what it says? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? What's it say in verse 11? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, Bible reading, Bible study, you know what it'll do, Christian? It will bless you, it will help you, it will strengthen you. Anybody here want to be helped? Anybody here want to be blessed? Anybody here want to be strengthened? What should you do? All together now. Read the Bible. It's a tough crowd, Ruth. It's a tough crowd. All right, so give yourself a grade. I'd have to give myself probably a D. I mean, I'm just being honest with me. All right, next one, church attendance. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We know that we're going to get graded on the prayer. We're going to get graded on Bible reading, Bible studying. Matthew chapter 18, we're going to get graded on church attendance. Now, sometimes that doesn't necessarily just mean being here. It means paying attention, right? Now, like I told you before, I got straight A's in grade school except for one subject. It was called citizenship. Anybody remember citizenship? Now you got the chance for two grades in citizenship, S for satisfactory and U for unsatisfactory. In six grades of grade school, I never got an S. Because I was, well, let's see, what's the best word? Boisterous. Trying to be kind to myself. You know, sliding things across the floor, spitballs, shooting, making noises. But apparently that was okay, so as long as I got straight A's and everything else, it just... I was so bad in second grade that the teacher moved my desk into the hall. And in fifth grade, I had to spend 2 weeks in the principal's office. Now listen, I should have done that, and I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm just telling you that I was, and maybe it was because I was a quick learner, I don't know. Because I would finish, you know, whatever task, I would finish ahead of time and, you know, didn't have anything else to do, so I could make noise and pass notes across the floor. And anyway, church attendance, Matthew 18, verse number 20. Matthew 18, verse number 20. And the Bible says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Praise God, praise God. Church attendance. Church doesn't have to necessarily mean inside the building, although it should mean that. But sometimes we can have church outside. Sometimes we could have church with two or three people. Right? I think the biggest church I ever preached at was about 260. Smallest church was, I don't know, maybe 10. Well, sometimes I've had church just with me and three people, witnesses to someone on the streets. We had a motorhome, 32-foot south wind, had slide outs on both sides. It was like a little house. And I used the word little. So I had on the very front, I had big letters, Jesus Saves. And on the side, I had the Romans Road. 323, 623, 5-8, 10, 9, and 10. Anyway. And on the back, I had 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. So I'm at a gas station in Washington State, and on the back is the scripture saith that Jesus Christ, right, died for us and all that. So this lady and her son were walking by, and I said, "Well, what do you think about that?" She goes, "Well, I think I need to get saved." I said, "Okay, are you a sinner?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you ever told God you're a sinner?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, tell him." She said, "God, I'm a sinner." I said, "You believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners?" She said, "Yeah." "You believe he died on the cross for you?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, tell God." "God, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me." I said, "Well, have you ever asked God to save you?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, ask God." She said, "God, will you save me?" I said, "Did you mean what you said? Believe it was true?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, then you're saved." And her son said, "Well, can I do that too?" And I said, "Sure." So I had church at the gas station, right? So church attendance, are we doing what we're supposed to do? Let me ask you a question. Are you a good witness in your neighborhood? Are you trying to watch what you say, what you do? Do they know you come to church every time the doors are open? Have you invited the neighbors? Well, when you go to the grocery store, do you pass them out a tract? Now, this is just me, and I was burdened since I got saved. But this takes no effort. Here, I want you to go to heaven. This will tell you how to go. I have a little card here. It says, get out of hell free. It's like a little Monopoly card, right? And people laugh and they take it. And on the bottom it says, conditions do apply. See back for details. And then I got the Romans Road on the back. Any print shop in America will print those up for you for a little bit of money, right? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Church attendance, Christian, church attendance. When I got saved out of a very wicked life. And I went to church Sundays and Wednesdays, and I went to the pastor one day. I'd been saved for about 3 months, and I said, Pastor, what am I going to do 5 days a week? I only get to go to church twice a week. He said, well, we have Bible study on Tuesday. I said, well, can I go? He said, sure. He said, we have visitation on Thursday. I said, well, can I go? He said, sure. He said, we have door knock and street preaching on Saturday. I said, well, can I go? He said, sure. And I thought, well, I'm giving God 5 days and the devil two. Who do you think is going to win? That was just the opposite of just going to church twice, right? You give God 2 days, you give the devil five. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by? Okay. So what's it saying? Where do we go? Hebrews 10? I'm going to get my act together eventually, you watch. Hebrews 10. All right, Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I believe that there's going to be a rapture before the tribulation. That's what I believe. Amen. And what I'm wishing is I get raptured out of church. Amen. Right? Where were you when you got raptured? Well, I was in church. Right? Now, I was with a pastor in Alabama, and he had a little book. And I was sitting at his desk, and I said, what's this book for? He said, oh, that's excuses. I said, excuses? He said, yeah, people call me all the time and tell me there's an excuse why they can't come to church. I said, well, what's your best excuse? He said, well, the best one I hear all the time is family members come in from out of town. I said, well, why don't they just come to church? He said, I don't know. I guess they don't trust the family to leave them at home while they're gone. Well, right? The dog's sick. I did find out that there's one excuse that God will let you get away with for missing church. You died the day before. I mean, I don't know, that's, anyway. All right, so church attendance, how you do, kids? Did you do okay? A, B, C, D, or F? You know the thing that's nice about this particular message? I'm not going to look at your cards. It's strictly between you and God. But it gives us something to think about. All right, Romans chapter 10. The next one is witnessing and testimony. Do you have a good testimony? The neighbors know you go to church, do they? Romans chapter 10. Verse 14 and 15, Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Are we supposed to preach the gospel to people? You know, sometimes we can preach the gospel without saying a word, by our actions, by our countenance. Jesus wants people to be saved, doesn't he? Are you saved? Have you witnessed to your family? Did they say yes or no? If they said no, pray. I'm 12 years old, sitting on the Baptist step in Victor, Colorado. And my best friend says, Kenny, you ought to get saved. I don't want to get saved. 28 years later, I wanted to get saved. You know, God put up with me for 28 years. My grandmother prayed for me for 28 years. I had 3 major car accidents. Hit a telephone pole head on at 55 miles an hour. No seat belt. Tiny scratch on the nose and on the ear. All the glass in the windshield flew by my face. I flipped a Volkswagen on the freeway. A little Volkswagen Bug. People say, you can't flip them? Oh, you can flip them. Half on the highway and half on the off ramp. Upside down, sliding on the top. No seatbelt. Radio was still going, engine was still going. I turned off the engine, turned the radio off, climbed out the window. I hit black ice in Virginia, 1978. Got flown out of the passenger door onto the pavement. Concussion. Was in a coma for 5 days. Went through Vietnam as an infantry. Got shot at and shot at other people. Didn't get saved till 1989. You know what God did? He looked out for me, he looked out for me, he looked out for me. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He knows you. He knows the good part of you, he knows the bad part of you. And he's willing to fix you so you can go to heaven. All we have to do is ask. And it's sad that some people have so much pride and so much arrogance that they think that they don't need God. Well, that's entirely up to you. I can tell you from experience, the greatest thing I ever did, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. And I try to witness to people. I try to have a good testimony. Now, I fail. I fall short sometimes of the glory of God. Just like the song said, Lord, I'm prone to wander. Right? But I know I can come back to the Lord, and the Bible tells me if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You know what that means? That means I have the ability as a Christian to stand before my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not have to give an account. But that it means I'm going to have to start confessing sins on a regular basis. Any sinners in the room? Okay. And praise God, he's willing to listen to it. Isn't he? So are you witnessing like you should? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at down there at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. What a verse. An example of the believers, right? I heard a story one time about a little old man, little old woman, been married 65 years, and Sunday morning came, and he turned over to his wife, and he said, I'm not going to church today. She said, oh, you have to go. He said, I don't have to go. He said, you can't give me three good reasons why I have to go. She said, oh, I'll give you three reasons. What about the kids? You've been telling the kids all these years and the grandkids that they should go to church, and here you being a hypocrite, you don't go to church? He goes, well, okay. And what about the neighbors? You're witnessing to the neighbors all the time. They know you go to church. They know you're there all the time. They see the car in the driveway. They're going to call you a hypocrite. He said, well, all right. She said, and last, you're the pastor. Well, I can tell you right now without a shadow of a doubt that there are times that your pastor don't want to come to church. He has to put up with you. And he preaches his heart out, and he preaches the Bible. If he wanted to, you know what he could do? He could stand up here and say, how many times do I have to tell you? Right? I mean, we do that to our kids, right? Well, when I was little, there was no such thing happened. My dad told me once, that was it. Because he had to tell me twice, I knew why I should have done what he said first. Right? Now, I got spanked. I'm still okay. I mean, you know, contrary to popular belief. But, so how's your witnessing, Christians? You doing okay, are you? All right, now we got some special sections here. How about your speech? Are you speaking like you ought to speak? Colossians chapter 4. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's my verse of life. Psalm 19:14. I want my speech to be acceptable to God. Colossians 4, verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You're going to come across people that are going to argue about what the Bible says. Be careful. I knew a Catholic man. I worked in a hospital. I knew the Catholic man. He was one of the nurse's assistants. I was a transporter, you know, pushing people around in wheelchairs and taking stuff to the lab. And so he was a pretty staunch Catholic, and I was talking to him one day, and I said, well, you know, Mary had other children besides Jesus. He said, oh, she did not. I saw right here in Mark chapter 5, what's it say? And he read it and he goes, I don't care what the Bible says. Well, what are you going to do? I just walked away. I mean, what? How can I answer that? If you don't care what the Bible says, do you care what the Bible says? Well, how's your speech? Is it seasoned with salt? Are you saying things that bless people or burden people? Well, we're supposed to speak what? Properly. Aren't we supposed to speak properly? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, Ephesians 4, 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Sometimes we can, old expression, catch more flies with, anyway, I don't know why anybody want to catch flies, but that's the expression, right? So we have a chance because we know about, do you know about Jesus? Do you know that someone accepts Jesus, they could go to heaven? Is there anybody that you know that doesn't know that? Maybe you could tell them. Say, you and I have been friends for years and years. I would just like to tell you something. Jesus loves you and wants to be your Savior. And just leave it at that. God will burden them. God will draw them. You just give them a chance to know how to get drawn, right? Now, sometimes you're going to witness to someone once, twice, three, four times. Hey, don't give up. Pray. Pray, pray, pray. All right, what about your thoughts? Are you thinking like you're supposed to think? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Is that what it says? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. That's not what it says, is it? It says, search me, O God. Is that what it says? Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Right? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God. And know my heart. That's in the book of Psalms, right? Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. What are we thinking about? Heard a story of a man in Texas once, took all of his clothes and jumped into a pile of cactus. And his friend says, what did you do that for? He said, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. Have you ever done something and people go, what were you thinking about? We got to be real careful because we should have thoughts that are spiritual thoughts, not carnal thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and, well, see if there be any wicked. Am I thinking about things I should think about? Am I setting my affection on things above? Philippians chapter 4. I can tell you exactly what to think about. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You want to know what to think about? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Maybe you ought to write that down in your little column there. God wants you to think about these things. All right, what about your actions? 1 Samuel chapter, it says 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3. Let's see if that's right. 1 Samuel chapter, sometimes I'm dyslexic and I just, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Everybody know where 1 Samuel is? It's after the book of Judges. Everybody know where Judges is? After the book of Joshua. All right, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 3. The Bible says, talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Well, that's what it says. So how are your actions, Christian? You doing what God wants you to do? Colossians chapter 3. Are you acting appropriately? Colossians chapter 3. I've told people to do this. I've never done it myself, but I just don't have the nerve to do it. But I was thinking about actions. I was thinking, well, I'll go to Walmart. I'll walk down the frozen food section, and I'll jump up in the air, raise up my hands, and say, Jesus saves! And then just continue shopping. That would be a strong action, wouldn't it? Now, they might haul you off to the institute, but, right? Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Right? Aren't you glad I can't sing? All right, let's go to, where'd we go? Colossians 3, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So whatever you do in word or deed, make sure it's for God. Right? I preach a message on I lost my train of thought. It'll come back to me later. All right, let's go to this next one. Praise. Are we praising God like we should? Praise the Lord. I'm preaching in a little town called I don't know what it was called. Anyway, it was in Missouri. First time I'd preached there. And about every other sentence, the pastor would say, well, praise God. And I thought, what a thing. So I'm in Walmart, and it was hailing. I mean, we're talking about marble-side hails, right? And I'm standing there, getting ready to go out to the car with about four or five other people. And it was hailing real bad, and I said, well, praise God. And they... I said, well, yeah, you got to praise God because eventually there's going to be hailstones that weigh 75 to 100 pounds. And they just looked at me. Well, apparently they hadn't read the book of Revelation, so. And you know that's true, don't you? That's what the book says. The weight of a talent, hailstones mixed with fire, going to come down on the earth. And the weight of a talent, depending on where you look, is either 75 pounds or 100 pounds. Well, where are you going to go? Yeah. I mean, I've seen hail the size of golf balls that killed cows. Right now, I have a town and country, Chrysler Town and Country, that has little hailstone marks all over the hood. Little ding, 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 ding. Probably why I got a good deal on it. But, I mean, hail damage. What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to be praising God. Psalm 150, look at verses 2 and verses 6. Psalm 150. Praise God, praise God, praise God. He's worthy to be praised. I don't know about you, but he's worthy to be praised. I could praise him all day and not do enough. He's been so good to me in spite of me. Psalm 150, verse number 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now look at verse number 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now I can look around and most of you are still breathing. Right? Praise God. I can't hear you.
Amen.
No, praise God. There you go. It's just, I can see this school. We're going to have a detention or something, but maybe after school special. All right. The last but not least, Colossians chapter 3, giving thanks to God. Do we give thanks to God? Probably not enough, right? Has he been good to us? Now, I preached this message probably, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, and I'm driving with Annie in the motorhome, and I just start crying. Why? Because I realize that I don't thank God enough. He's so good to me. I mean, I'm 75 years old. And I still partially get around. I have incurable leukemia. And God has seen fit for the VA to give me my leukemia medicine. I take 2 capsules twice a day. Each capsule is $1,200. I couldn't afford that. But because I'm disabled from leukemia, the VA pays for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right? I get free glasses from the VA. I get free medicine from the VA. I get free dental from the VA. I get 3 hearing aids from the VA because of my leukemia, which was caused by Agent Orange in Vietnam. I'm 100% disabled. And I still get to fly around the country. I mean, it burns my heart. I am so ungrateful to God, and He's done so much for me, so much. Completely changed my life, gave me new friends, gave me brothers and sisters in Christ from all over. I have people praying for me and people counting on me, and I mean, I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. Do I thank Him? We go to Colossians chapter 3. Well, let's go there then. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Last verse of this school, or close to the last verse of this school lesson, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. All right, here's the test. What's it say, 1 Thessalonians 5:16? You guys are just memory experts. First Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Lord, for that headache. Thank you, Lord, for that flat tire. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, when you chastise me. Thank you for your correction. Thank you for your love. Thank you for salvation full and free. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Romans chapter 14, and we'll stop. Romans 14, and we'll stop. Now, on my credit, on my card here, I have put down on prayer, I put a C. On Bible reading and studying, I put down a D. On church attendance, I put down a B. On witnessing testimony, I put down a C. On speech, I put down a C. On thoughts, I put down a C. On actions, I put down a C. On praise, I put down a C. On thanks, I put down a C. And then in parentheses on every one of those lines, I put an F, because I need improvement. And you might consider that yourself, right? So what's it say here in the Romans chapter 14? Romans chapter 14. Let's look at verse number 12, if you would please. Romans 14, verse number 12. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself. Is that what it says? To God. So even though I have showed you a report card today, I believe you're going to get something similar in heaven. And in the front of the card, what does it tell you in the front of the card? God's the principal, the counselor is Jesus Christ, the teacher is the Holy Spirit. I'm praying, along with the pastor, that this is something that you'll keep track of. And maybe once a month, maybe once a week, maybe once a year, you'll look at it and say, have my grades improved? Am I going to be a straight A Christian, valedictorian in my class? Or will I have to stay for summer school? Well, I mean, I don't know. Pastor?